Keep your ears open. God's got a plan for you. He wants to speak to you here this day. As we prepare to get ready for the word here this morning, Bible store, whatever, but we're going to have a Bible store pretty soon in here in the church. Amen. Speaking it by faith. Give the Lord a good clap offering. We got all kinds of plans right now going on. I've been meeting with the leadership. We got another leadership, upcoming leaders. I brought in a few onto the leadership and a few more to the upcoming leaders within the church. And we got all kinds of plans. We're going to have a coffee shop down there with, I mean, more than coffee. We're going to have Red Bulls down there, Monsters. Keep you guys going to the gas station down at the corner, amen. Taking all your money over there, amen. You want a Red Monster? I have a Red Monster for you, amen. But we're going to open up a bookstore, a coffee shop down there. And all these empty slots in the walls, we're going to fill them with departments and ministries and things. And we're going to, as beautiful as it is, the youth chapel downstairs, amen. We're going to do all the, you know, the lighting, the dimmers and everything in there, colored lighting. And they're going to fix up the whole, the stage there and so forth. And a lot of things, the children's ministry, we're going to have a opening center when you go down there. We can check your children in and everything. We're going to have a fancy everything. Amen. And even the classrooms and everything, the hallways are all bare. We're going to have great artwork and photography taking place and just decorating the building little by little. Amen. So a lot of great things are taking place, but we're in a season where as the men, the women came back a couple of months ago, but the Mighty Men of Valor was just this month and come back. A lot of ideas. We met with Pastor Sonny as ministers. Pastor Jamie was able to be there with me on that meeting. And then a training for from Pastor Max, amen, out of, where's he out of? Portland, Victor Outreach Portland, amen. Gave a phenomenal class on church growth and so forth. And then we got back, and then we had Elder Rick Alanis, one of our elders, shared with the ministers once again there in Chicago. And we have all this information, and we're trying to, the watermelon theory, we're trying to, you know, spit out what, you know, we don't think we're going to use and use what is meant for us to be using here in the church and the city of Milwaukee. And but in saying all that, we got a school that's about to get rented or started by us. A lot of great opportunities have, you know, presented themselves, amen, because there's been leadership hard at work within this church. But as the shepherd and the minister, the senior pastor of this church, amen, I'm looking for more men and more women to come on board. I'm not looking for perfect women. I'm not looking for perfect men. Because I could get a magnifying glass or what do you call the microscope to telescope, not to see, you know, across the street, but a telescope that can see the moon wouldn't find a perfect man in here or a perfect woman. Amen. God is looking for people like you and I. Amen. That he can make spectacular people. Amen. There was at one time my life was in ruins through addiction, prison, and all those things, amen, for many, many, many years. And the Lord has transformed my life. He has grown my life in answering the call, the purpose that he had in my life. I just couldn't see it. So we want to envision you all to be able to see what God wants to do in our church and what he wants to do in your life and the gifts and the talents and what you come to the table with. Each and every one of y'all, even though it's not Christmas, you have gifts. Amen. Some of you probably have more gifts from God within you than you get at Christmas time. Amen. It's a gift of God worth opening up, worth unwrapping. Amen. To find out what God, what gift God has placed within your life. But we need to know that the gifts that God has placed within our lives are not for us. The Bible scripture says that they're meant to edify the body of Christ, to strengthen the body of Christ, which is us here this day. You might be weak in one area, but the brother sitting next to you has a gift to make up for your weakness. And the brother that can make up your weakness has a weak spot that you have a gift that can cover. So as we come together and we bring our gifts that are from God to edify, to strengthen the body, the body of Christ will then be strong only when we're using our gifts. Amen? Only when we're using our gifts and we're applying God's word within our life, not just hearing his word. I shared a very simple message on Friday dealing with faith. Amen? And we're going to go there. I'm going to use the same title this Sunday morning also. Faith without works does not build the church. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you simply knowing that we shouldn't be here this day. This wasn't our cup of tea here. This wasn't something we had in mind ever doing. But like I said earlier, it was in your mind, Lord. And I pray that you put me to the side here this morning, Lord, that you open that man's heart, that woman's heart, that you open that man's mind, that woman's mind, Lord, that you may be able to come in with your word, Lord, and to reason with them, Lord, that they may answer the call. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Psalms 127:1. If you don't have your Bible here this morning, amen. All the scriptures will be given on the screens. If there's a little hiccup along the way, amen, my sound person is not here, amen. But I believe Janessa's going to do a great job today, amen. So you want to know who the person filling in? Her name is Janessa. She came as a little girl. How old were you, Janessa, when you came to church? Like maybe 5. You know where I'm going now? You should have told me how. One day, Janessa thought she was going to be disobedient on the south side when we had the church, when I was raw material at that time, amen? Homie didn't play that. And she thought she was going to be running around and disrespecting her mother until I pulled her in the office and I talked to Nia. I said, Nitro, do you give me permission to put a whooping on your daughter? Go ahead, Pastor. Spanked her 3 times. I spanked her so hard she don't even remember. She calls me a liar. She has a driver's license now. There's a black eye on her driver's license picture. Amen? But anyhow, I said all that just to let you know that little girl has now grown up to be a beautiful girl on the worship team. She's filling in there at the sound. Amen. And God has raised her up in the church. And I haven't had to give her another pow-pow ever since. Amen? Praise the Lord. Psalms 127 Verse 1, everything I'm going to be saying right now is to get you guys on board, no matter where you may be at. You might just be fresh and new. Amen. I got some work for you to do. Amen. You can be fresh and new in the church, still under addiction, things taking place in your life. And I ask you to invite others to come to church, to invite others to come to church and bring others here. You may not know how to give them the word yet, but you can invite them to church. So all of us play a part here this morning in building God's kingdom. Amen? So as we go to Psalms 127:1, a few scriptures I used on Friday, the Bible reads, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Amen. I'm just going to stay up there on the first part of the verse there. Amen. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Have you ever worked for years and years and years hard trying to build a family, a marriage, and you have nothing to show forth because you were the one doing the building? So what the Lord wants here this morning from each and every one of us, in order for him to be the builder of our house, of our life, of this church, of this community, this city of Milwaukee, amen, we're going to have to get to know who the builder is. Because even though he is the builder, amen, we are the builders. And he wants to do his work through your life and my life. He's the architect, the Bible says. He is the builder. And in order for the builders to build the house of God correctly, amen, we need to know the instructions of the blueprint, the blue plan that comes from the builder. Amen. And when this church was made, there was architects that one day came together in a room and they drew it all out on paper. And even though they were the architects and they drew up the plans of this structure here, they were not the ones that built it. Amen. Other builders would come in. Some were the framers, some were masons, some did the carpet, some did the painting, some installed the windows, some put in the roof, and so on and so on. It is God who is the builder. He has drawn the plans for your life and my life, for the city of Milwaukee. But he needs builders. He needs men and women and youth that are going to build his house correctly. Amen? James 2:26. I'm not going to labor on the message on Friday, so I'm just cutting through the last verse, though it's a lot of good reading before 26. Maybe when you go home, you can read. There's a lot of good reading before you get to verse 26. And the Bible reads, just as the body is dead without breath, speaking about our physical body. Amen. Just as the body is dead without breath, what allows our body to live is breath. Amen. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. In other words, as our bodies cannot continue or live, amen, without breath, our faith in God cannot grow, cannot live, be an active living faith, amen, if there's no works from our lives, if we ain't those co-laborers of Jesus, if we ain't building the house of God, amen, our faith, our belief system in the Lord is dead. So we got to get beyond the place of just coming to church and hearing the word. Amen. The book of James says to not only be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word. We come to church here this morning, not just to hear God's plan, but to learn God's plan in order to do God's plan. Amen. And being a builder of the Lord is for each and every one of our lives. We all have a building assignment within our life to carry out so that we can build the house of God. See, when this place was made and created by the architect, if the roofer wouldn't have came, there would be no roof on this church. Amen? If he wouldn't have showed up. If the window guy that got subbed out the contracting work for the windows wouldn't have came, there would be no windows. If the electrician that had the perfect plan, the layout for the electricity on the building wouldn't have showed up, there would be no light right now in the building. So each and every part of these subcontractors that were brought in to build this building, every one of them had to do their part in order for this building to be complete and allowing us to have service here this morning. So likewise, in the body of Christ, if enough of us ain't doing our part, the roof is going to be missing, amen, the windows are going to be missing, the toilets ain't going to be getting cleaned. So all of us need to do our part. We all have an assignment. It's not somebody else's job. We can't assume it's going to be taken care of by somebody else. And if you're here for the first time, I just ask, just keep coming, hear the word, and pretty soon you're going to be, hey, pastor, is there anything you want me to do? Amen. As we go to the book of Exodus chapter 18, verse 1, I'm going to pull from the story here out of Exodus, amen. A real well-known story where good things were taking place. Good things are taking place here this morning. What was good was that God would use Moses to deliver, amen, the Israelites out of slavery that had been in that condition for over 400 years. The good news is they were out of Egypt. They were out of bondage. But they were in the wilderness. And it was good news. It's written about in God's word. And I believe there's some good news here this morning with some of your all's lives. That you no longer drink. You no longer smoke. You no longer cuss. You got a J-O-B job. And there's some good news. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And your life can't stay there where you're at right now being clean and sober. But the reason you're clean and sober is because God has a purpose for your life. And he's looking for some clean and sober vessels that he can work through. But the goodness of our ministry is you can come to me and your vessel can still be way dirty. And you can keep it real. I'll still talk to you. I'll get you to cut some grass and clean some windows. I'll put you to work. There was good things taking place. The Bible says there were anywhere from 2 to 3 million people. You gotta see it in your mind going through the wilderness, the desert. 2 to 3 million people moving at the same time. Their leader was Moses. And God would lead them through a pillar, a cloud in the sky, and a pillar of fire by night. And good things was taking place. They knew God was with them. They could see him. His presence was in the cloud. And when the cloud would move, they would move. When the cloud would stop, they would stop. Good things were taking place. But they were in a process. Like each and every one of us here this Sunday morning are within a process. And the good news is that we've been set free. The good news with this morning is that God is with us. Scripture says if he is with us, who can be against us? So there's a lot of good things taking place within our church right now. There's a good attendance here this morning. But there's a lot of work that needs to be covered. If your life is going to continue to grow, if your faith is going to continue to grow, if you're going to put your hands to the plow, I need men, women, and youth to take their place in the church. If everybody's going to continue to grow and we're going to move together as the people of God, I need more people to cover more ground. Yes, a lot of good things are taking place in the church right now. But the plan of God is so great that and there's going to be further growth, numerical growth, where we're going to need people growing up spiritually to come on board. We have a meeting at 5 today, and I've called a few to join that meeting. They have not been in a meeting with the leadership before. Because God is at work, and he's doing something. And he's not going to leave us in the wilderness. If he was able to take us out of Egypt, he's able to take us into his promises. But we need the help of the church right now. We're strategizing all these ideas, and you're going to be able to see them with your very eyes. You're not just going to hear about it. You're going to see the ideas that we're having meetings behind walls right now. And I just want to encourage you right now that you count in this church. Your growth depends on somebody else making it. Exodus chapter 18, verse 1. Amen. They're fresh out of Egypt. And they're in the wilderness. Food don't come that easy. The water, they're complaining because they were so used to the way of Egypt. Amen. 18:1. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, heard about everything God had done for Moses and his people, the Israelites. He heard especially about how the Lord had rescued them from Egypt. Amen. The father-in-law is looking down on the life of Moses. They heard the great news. Amen. It wasn't a few people that got saved. 2 to 3 million people had been taken out by the hand of God out of Egypt. How many have been rescued here this morning? Amen. We need to go beyond being rescued is good, but it's not the full answer for your life. Many of us have been rescued, and we can give all glory and honor unto the Lord for rescuing us from where we were at. A rescue plan that mom and dad couldn't do, that money couldn't do, that the street corner couldn't pull off, that the opposite sex couldn't pull off. We find ourselves rescued out of bondage, out of Egypt. But now our lives need to be provided for, not the same way of the ways of Egypt, but now the source would become God. See, too many times we come into the church, God rescues us, but your source is still Egypt. Your source is still Egypt. You're rescued, you're saved, but your source, your means still come from Egypt. And here what God was trying to be for his people was their source, their everything. He wanted them to come to him with everything, just like we did unto the work of the enemy and darkness. In the beginning, I gave them a little bit of my finances. Before, it was all my finances. In the beginning, it was just on Friday nights, sneaking out the window, going and clubbing and stuff, getting drunk. And then I gave them Friday and Saturday. Amen? Then I gave them Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And before you know it, the old saying of 24/7 took place. I no longer cared what mom and dad had to say about me being a party animal. It was fun. It was my golden years. Could have all the girlfriends I wanted. Smoke as many joints as I wanted. Go home, not go home, do whatever I wanted. And I learned to go to the world to put a smile on my face. I learned how slowly but surely the world became my source. That I would go to the world eventually for everything, no longer to my mom or dad, but the world became my source, my medication, so to speak. And now that we are saved, amen, the Lord is saying it's only right now that I become your source. But being rescued and saved is not great enough in the Lord becoming your source that you go to with the little things and that you go to with the great problems that are within your life right now. There's things that you're not happy about that might be taking place in your life that you've tried with all your energy to stop doing, but you keep on doing them. What used to be a party is now bondage. What you used to show off about and brag about, you're now ashamed of. So now, naturally, that we've been rescued,
by the Lord, we need to learn to slowly more and more start coming to the Lord, not just on Sunday, but you got to graduate to Friday service. You got to graduate to the Wednesday prayer night service. You got to graduate to the Friday youth gang service. Amen. Youth gang standing for God's anointed now generation. Amen. You got to graduate that next Sunday. If you were listening, that we have a rally taking place and bringing your sneakers and shorts and a t-shirt and get ready and going and telling people that are not able to make it to church of the goodness of Christ. So we need to grow in allowing Jesus to become our source, because he is a good father. He is the light of the world. He does things in the light, not in secrecy. So what God was trying to get his people to do was allow him to become their source for everything. And too many times, the only time we call upon Jesus to be our source is when everything's going wrong. I was crazy when I was out there. But when things got really bad, I never said, come on, Satan, man, hook me up, Satan. I was like, Jesus, please help me, Lord. Something naturally just takes place for us to say that desperate prayer. And Jesus helping us means, and him becoming our source in that area that we needed covered at that moment. Jesus help me means, be my source. I need something above my ability. I need you to do this for me, please. And I promise, I'll go to church next Sunday. I'll be nice to Pastor Charlie. Just get me out of this one. The Lord's wanting to become your source. A source that will never let you down. A source that will allow you to stand like a true man of God. To be a true father, a true son, a true daughter, a true mother. And the only way you can get those attributes within your life is by allowing Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life and the source of your life. Too many times we try to be a mother by buying books from the world, by acting like the other mothers. We try to be a father by watching TV on parenting and all this, when it's all found in God's Word. Everything you need to be a parent is found in his word. Everything you need to be a son or a daughter is found in his word. Why? He is the source. He is the source. It amazes me that people continue doing the same thing, looking for a different outcome. You can expect something different when you try Jesus to take place in and through your life. He wants to be your source, not only in the hard times, but even in the good times. That we not be a people that just come to him in the hard times, but a people that comes to him also in the good times, that are grateful. So here we come to find out in Exodus 18:1 that good news. His father-in-law Jethro heard the good news that they were out of Egypt. Let's go to Exodus 18, 13 through 14. Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 14. The Bible reads, the next day Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. You guys got a few disputes against each other in the house of God this morning? That's another Bible study. That one's for the rehab. Amen. Praise the Lord. They waited before him, the Bible says, from morning till evening. Rehab don't know, but I'm going to rattle their cage after this meeting today. Might be missing a guy or two from the home. I'm going to say, I don't know what happened. Because we get down not the same way we used to do it in the world now.
And two might be asked to leave today. Now they're taking notes and saying, who's they talking about? Maybe one of you is saying, he's talking about me. There's just some things that are not going to be tolerated. Because we got a new boss, and it's not me, it's God, and he's got to learn. You got to learn that he's got to become your source. Go try Egypt out again. It's still there. She might even still be there. He might even still be there. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, what are you really accomplishing here? And I ask myself that sometimes as a pastor. I see all you guys here, and I ask myself, what are we really accomplishing here this morning? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening? Go back, please, to verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him morning till evening. Remember, there was 2 to 3 million people. Amen. They were murmuring and complaining against Moses, against God, against one another. All kinds of stuff was taking place. It was 2 to 3 million people straight out of Egypt. Not out of the promised land, but out of Egypt. They had a way of operating where God was not their source. And whenever God is not your source, there will be disputes that shouldn't be taking place. Because the Bible says in John 10, the Bible, that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants everybody disputing in your marriage, with your children, in your ministry here at the church. The work of the enemy is that we not get along. And here the man of God, Moses, was settling the dispute of the people from morning, the Bible says, till evening. The line went for miles and miles and miles. It was 2 to 3 million people. And the Bible says, a good thing, yes, had taken place. They were set free out of Egypt. But then came the murmuring and complaining, the disputing with one another. And Moses, being the man of God, till morning, till evening, would be there to settle all the disputes. And his father-in-law, Jethro, from a distance, saw what was taking place. Go to 14. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, that meant from morning till evening, every day, 24/7, counseling and breaking up fights. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening? I find myself at that place right now where I can no longer take care of all the disputes of the church. That there's a qualified leadership to deal with disputes in the church, with the ups and downs of the process of a man or a woman becoming a man of God, a woman of God. There needs to be a leadership, and it just can't be me you hear it from. I've heard it said over and over, I ain't gonna hear from that leader, Pastor. You're the only one. Well, that sounds nice and holy, right? That's all right. I'm gonna try you out. Okay, this is what I want you to do, brother. Do this or this. Oh man, well, I gotta do that. But I thought you said you were gonna hear it just from me. Truth was, they weren't gonna hear it from nobody. So here we find out that Moses' father-in-law, because he was on the outside looking in, Moses is all caught up from the morning till evening dealing with all these disputes. Let's go to Exodus 18, 17. Moses Farlaw still speaking. He says, this is not good. Remember, we opened up with scripture how Moses' father-in-law was happy of the good news that took in place, them being out of Egypt. Now we get to verse 17. This is not good. Moses' father-in-law exclaimed, this is not good. Let's go to 18. You're going to wear yourself out, and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. In the beginning, I mean, Pastor Jamie and Tammy messed me up. They called me more so Tammy than Jamie, and used to call me Superman. And they'd ignore it, but when they would say that, my chest would come out. I would envision the big S on me, the cape. I was already flying, amen. But now I was flying in a Superman cape, amen? I said, I'm Superman. So I was all over the place, flying in on this dispute, flying in on this, flying in on this one over here all day long, saying, I got this. I've been there, done that. I got this. This is what you do. This is what you do. Leave her. Leave him. Do this. Do that. And I was just whacking away with my old machete. Amen. Two things were taking place here. In verse 18. It was a twofold thing taking place here, not just in the life of that it wasn't good for the life of Moses, but you're going to wear yourself out. That's one thing that was going to take place if Moses continued to do all the counseling of the disputes of the people from morning till evening. But then it says, slash, and the people too. See, the people too were standing from morning till evening waiting for their turn to come around. Even though there were 1,800,000 away still from their dispute getting met, they too were being worn out. By the time their dispute came up, I bet you it was something else. It had changed over 20,000 times. Because that line was worth 2 or 3 million people worth of disputes. Can you imagine? You might not be able to, I can, being the shepherd. You're going to wear yourself out, Moses. And the people too. You see here this morning, people, it is not only to my benefit that you do your part, but it's also to your benefit that you do your part. Because if the needs of the church are not being met, people sooner or later are going to get worn out. I ain't dealing with this stuff no more. Man, same thing's been happening for the last 5 years. Man, I'm out of here. It just can't be me. But yet you got the gift of patience and you're ready to leave. Here we find out that Moses was not the only one standing from morning till evening, but so were the people. See, if I'm feeling it, you're going to feel it. Amen? Amen? We need one another. We need to do our part to bring the disputes down in what the enemy's doing, to be able to edify and lift up the name of Jesus. For we can show one another, help one another to what Jesus is doing instead of being here till Monday to Sunday settling disputes. And if a church continues to always be in disputes, it could also mean that the church ain't spiritually growing. I didn't have no revelation coming to the table this morning, but I know the Lord's speaking already. The enemy's good. He'll have us disputing matters and what he's doing. He has us talking about him, the pastor with the people, session after session in the office, and what he's doing. A lot of times the disputes take place because the people stay immature. I can give you counseling that's straight from the mountain of provision from God. But if you ain't going to establish a personal relationship with the Lord and spending time with him, even though you hear it, it's going over your head. So his father-in-law was able to look down and says, Moses, this ain't good, man. Yeah, I know y'all all been set free. Yeah, I know you're out of Egypt. Yeah, V.O. Milwaukee. I know that. That's good. The AC's on. The lights finally came on. That's good. But I believe there's some things that are being disputed right now for the only reason that people are staying immature and not growing in their walk with the Lord. In Exodus 18:21, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, starts giving him more insight. He's on the outside looking in and checking out. Not good, not good, not good, not good. So in 21, his father-in-law tells him, but select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. See, the time and age we live in right now, there's some guys that take bribes so quick and fast. I know pastors, if somebody brings them a brand new lawnmower that's ripped off, they'll buy it for $20. A brand new necklace straight from the jewelry store will buy it for $50. It's worth thousands. Homie, don't play that. I don't do that stuff. You can't bribe me with money. You can't bribe me with gold and silver. Because Peter, when he was there at the gate called Beauty, he told him, silver and gold I have none, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Ain't no amount of silver, gold, or money ever gonna make somebody walk or deliver somebody. But Jesus can. And there's just too many men that take bribes, man. You're so gullible. Trying to stay polished this morning. Dumb. Sometimes when the fried ice cream comes your way and you take yourself out of the circle of the church from being one of the capable men that can help raise this ministry up. Because it's a money little bribe comes. You're going to make $10 on it. You only spend $5. Get out of here with that dumb stuff. The goods are stolen. Stay far away from it. I don't care if it comes with a receipt. If it's something that costs $2,000, they're trying to give it to you for $5. Stay away from it. Stop calling it a good deal, and God blessed you. My God. Man, Pastor, you never believe me. I got blessed. I got hooked up, man. What happened? I'm like, my God. Sometimes just leave it alone. Don't even counsel that one. That ain't in a dispute. That's dumb. Just dumb stuff. Always trying to come up a few bucks when people are dying. It says, but select from all of the people, 2 to 3 million people. That means there were some good ones in there. Somewhere in here, if I look good enough, I'm going to find some here this morning. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who will fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over the groups of 1,150 and 10. I brought on some more actual leaders that are coming on to the church and some potential leaders. And the way I arrive who is a leader and a potential leader, if you want to be a leader, just know that you're going to have to be at the services. You can't be taking, this ain't a part-time job, amen? You've always wanted full-time. I have full-time service for you, amen? I got full-time work. Different ways I measure, one might have a lot of gifts and talents, but still falling for bribes. Still doing other things on the side, on the down low. And then the person that ain't as sharp, amen, is staying right before the Lord. Is always available. So I just don't go on the talents and gifts. They're good. But sometimes give me the person that don't know much and that is coming 100. Over that man or woman that's highly talented and heavy gifted, but yet can't even be trusted. Don't really know what's going on after they leave the church. I ask a question here this morning. Is there any capable man in the church this morning? God, that was quiet. Amen. If you were to go to your boss and you were going to get that high-paying job, would you say, I'm capable. I'm honest. I fear God. I hate bribes. Would you lie to get that good job? Because that in itself does not fall in the place of honesty. Amen? So I asked, do I have some capable men? Do I have some capable women here this morning? They're saying, you know what, Pastor? I've been hearing the word long enough. You know what, Pastor? It's time for me to go to work. Something is always stirring within me that there's something greater that I'm missing out on because I'm not putting my hands to the plow. I got a job, I got a nice place, I got a nice car, but something still is missing within my life. And every time you start preaching, you start teaching, that something always starts getting stirred up, reminding me that I've been called of God, that I have a purpose within my life. In Exodus 18:22, another thing that I already mentioned and how I pick a leader, amen, is that they should always be available. Let me see if this one says the same thing. They should always be available. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes. But too many times, as men and women in the church, we never get past common disputes. Some of you are still fighting over the same stuff of 5, 10 years ago. Common disputes. In other words, everyday disputes. You got to get bigger. You got to become greater. Education ain't going to get you over common disputes. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes. Key words, always available. Tell them to have them bring the major cases to you, Moses, and let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. But too many times we never get past the place of settling simple matters. Little ones. Still yelling, fighting, and cussing over little stuff. When God's wanting to use your life. See, when you give your life to the Lord, He gives you discernment to help other people in the church dealing with their common, amen, disputes. Common disputes. Things that we should already have done and grown past. We're able to say, well, you know, when I was there, I remember I was there and the way I went about it. I mean, this is the way I did it, but, you know, I'm just giving you some advice. I started doing this and this. But too many times we can't even give counsel over simple common disputes because we're still disputing over those same things. A good job ain't going to give you discernment. If anything, it will make you even worse, make you more prideful. I make this so much an hour. Man, give me that guy with the minimum paying job that knows how to solve common disputes. They should always be available. I put here, capable men that are not available can't help build the church. I don't care if you're the best carpenter in the world. Your middle name is Jesus. Your last name is Christ. If you're not here, you can't build. Too many times we want to do this and this and this, but in order to do this and this and this, you got to be available. I don't know who I was talking to this morning, but I says, unless you're the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is everywhere right now. Amen? In every city, every state, in Africa, London, Europe, he's being preached everywhere right now. But we can only be at one place. Amen? Amen. Exodus 18:23. The Bible reads, if you follow this advice, if you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you'll be able to endure the pressures. And all these people will go home in peace. From disputes to peace. From pressure, great pressure, to being able to endure the pressure. Again, twofold things take place when we follow the advice of Christ that is being spoken here this day. It not only allows me to endure and to continue to go forward in enduring the pressures of ministry, but it'll also let you go home in peace. Do you not want peace in your life? Has that nice car you drive brought you any more peace? Has that job you gotten now that you're so happy about brought you inner peace? Again, it not only benefits me, the pastor, to be able to endure the pressures of the call of God upon my life, but if you follow and if you're obedient, the Bible says you'll be able to go home in peace. Bring peace back to your house, back to that daughter, that son that is always disputing. You're able to bring peace back from the house of God. Because you're following the instructions of Jesus. You're allowing him slowly but surely to become your source. And from being angry, being replaced now with peace. Being replaced with being able to endure pressures of being in a marriage, pressure and having children. It's hard in this world that we live in. You don't have to be the pastor to be under pressure here this Sunday morning. How many got pressure right now? If you feel like me, you don't know if your head's about to blow off your shoulders right now. It's like when you're blowing up a balloon on the helium or whatever, and it takes off. My head feels like that right now. You will be able to endure pressures, and the people will go home in peace. I put my little side note, we all win. But some of you are wanting to win without partaking in this fight. You're wanting victory without following the advice of Christ. It's just not going to work. Getting ready to close Exodus chapter 13. Verse 21, 22. The Lord went ahead of them. This is when he was leading them through the wilderness, through the pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Amen. It says, the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. Amen. They were able to see God. The clouds would move, they would move, the cloud would stop, they would stop. They were able, literally with their naked eye, being able to see how God was leading. I put here, God's presence in the pillar of cloud and fire was comforting. They were able to see him. When he would move, they would move. They were still able to see him even at night by a pillar of fire. When the fire would move, they were always able to see God. It was comforting. I would love to always be able to see God in all my situations that I go through. They were able to see God. It was comforting, I put here on my notes. But it meant unquestioned obedience. It called for unquestioned obedience on their part, even though they had been in bondage for 400 years. It called for unquestioned obedience. They were literally able to see God in the cloud. When it stopped, they stopped. When it moved, they moved. It was black and white. The first day, they were able to get it right and being guided by God because they could see him. Amen. They could see him. They were able to move in the night because they could still see him. And now the times that we're living in right now, we are that pillar of cloud. We are that pillar of fire where the people that are lost and bound should be able to see and be able to follow us. When we stop, they stop. When we move, they move. They should be able to follow us. And that's why Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. You can follow me. I will lead you to Christ. But you're going to have to come under the advice of Christ. He's going to have to be your source. I'm just your cloud. You can see me. Literally, you can see me. And God is wanting to raise up men and women and youth that the world can see him within our lives. That when the man of God walks by, you stop disputing because it don't look good to dispute. It's not something that is mature. But now in the New Testament, in the day and age that we live in right now, God can still be seen by day and by night. We can continue to build by day or by night. We can continue to grow, not only in the good times, but in the hard times. You got to learn to be able to see God. You got to be able to see him moving in your life. You got to be able to see that one season you need him to lead you. The next season, you got to see yourself leading others. And the only way that's going to take place is you by becoming involved in the church. Amen. Becoming involved in the church. They were able to see God straight out of Egypt. Straight out of bondage, they were able to see God. It was comforting, but yet it called for unquestionable obedience. Some of you see God, and it still sometimes don't get your obedience. You want to serve only when you want to serve. But there should be in some here this day an unquestionable obedience
Because we can see what God has done in our life. We can see what God is doing in the church. We can see what God is doing internationally in over 33 countries, worldwide, internationally, within our ministry. But too many of y'all still seeing you. Go before the mirror and it's still you there. So you put more makeup on because it's still you. Get a different haircut, different hair color, different eyelashes, different lips, different. Worship leader, please. Jamie's looking at me. Don't go there, Pastor. Don't kill it. Don't kill it. Jamie went like, one day I'm going to go to Jacksonville, Florida. Jamie going to cross every line. He going to go further than I go. I'm going to go like. Don't. Oh. Every time he knows I'm going there, he goes. That's like he wouldn't say that. Maybe not right now. Wait till he gets his own little flock of disputers. Yeah. Jamie went. I don't know what I'm going to do when Jamie's not there and I don't have my measuring stick going like, don't say it, Pastor. As we stand here this day, who would ever think or thought that God would want to use a people like us? There's a place for you within this church. If you knew my assignment to you, your task is invite somebody next Friday, next Sunday. Just simply invite somebody. Invite somebody. You can tell me the pastor's a little crazy, but it was good. Invite somebody. You've been called. That means God wants to use you. That means if you've been called and God wants to use you, you need to get involved then. Amen? Whatever the song is, whatever the song is.